Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Should we do a running order? Should we actually tell the listeners
so we'll talk
what we plan to talk about?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, then we will, at some point we must talk about fasting.
Yep.
So that will put fasting down.
Fasting.
Because the Prime Minister's doing it, it's on the front of the Times,
yeah.
And we have a bit of an insight.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do the Cameron Let's Go Stay in Grace and Favour Mansion.
Yeah.
And because?
We will explain why.
Okay, we will. Gwyneth Paltrow whacks things with a plastic bat when she's angry.
Yeah.
Got to do that.
Got to do that.
What about rats addicted to Instagram?
I love that story. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to do crazy animal stories, rats
yes.
addicted to Instagram, we could get that a segue.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see the story about sexy Jesus?
No.
Jesus is too sexy. Page 27 of Tuesday's Times. Anyway, we can cover that later. Sexy Jesus.
Really? Is that really a story?
It really is a story.
Marcus Rashford.
We have conflicting ideas about what the story is about. But yeah,
we have conflicting ideas about who he is the main thing.
I am. I do occasionally
Let's
get
put
confused.
Him low down and see if we come
Marcus
to him.
Marcus Rashford.
Soft drink sommeliers.
Yeah. Some Lapsang Souchong infusion with your steak, sir.
But don't make all the jokes now.
Sorry.
Or do, because listen, that's now ninth on our running order and we never really... This isn't a running order, this is just a list of shit out of the papers.
Yes,
it?
This is where the magic happens.
Oh, I said shit running order, didn't I? Have I it said fuck yet?
No, just don't say, just cool it on the F word. Last week, there was a portion where there were so many F words that I stopped listening. It was just a stream of curse words and I just thought that is going to really put people off.
But you know how people say that, you know, swearing is what inarticulate people do? And I always defend that and go, no, it's not, it's what clever people like me do. Maybe what I should do in those moments... Mm-hmm. To blow our running order out of the order is hit things with a plastic bat.
Yes, like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Which
has she confessed this on Goop or on Instagram?
Just to promote her thing. I hit things with a plastic bat, so buy a vaginal douche.
Yes.
Or a front fanny scented candle.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow reveals she whacks away her woes by hitting things with a plastic bat to release her anger. She has touted many bizarre fads over the years, ranging from jade eggs to bee venom therapy, writes the Daily Mail, which we no longer have in this house, but I've got up on my phone. And now Gwyneth Paltrow is lauding the health benefits of releasing anger by hitting things with a plastic bat. Sound effects. Is that right? I've got a plastic bat in the other room.
You don't go and get it.
Okay. The Hollywood star, 51, ooh, you'd never have guessed, she doesn't look a day older than 47, has revealed that she has a coach who helps her to express feelings of distress.
Mm-hmm.
No stranger to trying off-the-wall wellness trends in a bid to improve her life, blah, blah, blah. Negative feelings are unladylike. I was always bad at expressing anger. I'm still not great at it, but it's an important part of my mental health to release anger in a healthy way. I'm wondering to myself, you know, what she whacks. She steams her vag and then gets up and has a pee juice or whatever.
Yeah.
And then starts whacking the shit out of who? Chris Martin? No, it's not him anymore, is it? when she said consciously uncoupled, she meant beat to death with a plastic
bat. Maybe she
bat.
Gets in her car and drives over to his house. I imagine Gwyneth has got a gym, and I imagine she does some boxing, and I imagine she's got one of those kind of armless men, you know?
What?
You know, like in like boxing gyms, you have all in. It's more like in like kickboxing gyms, you have those rubber.
Oh, men on a spring, and you kick them in the head, and they go whoa.
Or she'll have a punch bag that maybe she hits with a plastic
bat. All those things she's got, and yet still it's about hitting things with a plastic bat.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is it hitting Like the wall, you can do damage. Is it? Is her?
Yeah, are
there
lots
of sort of blue plastic scuffs all over her house on things? That or does her boyfriend lob
things in the air?
Organic pomegranates at her, and she whacks them with a.
I think that rage therapy is probably actually hitting a ball a really long way is probably more satisfying and better for a release of anger than just randomly like whacking the shit out of.
Although
a sofa.
Ben Stokes, my hero, does that. So. Where could I column with that?
I don't know, because I obviously am going... I immediately go down quite a serious lifestyle route with this piece, but that's a piece...
You mean imagining the sort of fig-scented plastic bag made from reclaimed bamboo fabric?
No, about the fact that women are just not allowed to express their anger. And I was a very, very angry young woman and massively stigmatised my entire life for it. And only older am I able
when
to...
you finally found a man who was prepared to...
Yeah, the man angrier than me. And also, I found it within myself to understand that if you are angry, bad things happen. And to this day, whenever I lose my temper with people, I am reminded why you must never lose your temper with people. Because people really hate angry women, but they don't mind angry men. Anyway, that's boring.
No, that's not boring.
Boring,
that's,
and sensible.
No, that's what's interesting. Right.
I think men don't...
Your anger failing. Your anger fails. Like, your anger fail at the vet, for example. You know... I feel that my anger, embarrassing though it is, apart from the time when I got a criminal record, generally is a positive thing. I usually get.
But that's because society as a whole responds completely differently to an angry man than it does to an angry woman. It does. Angry women are called crazy, unreasonable. People really, really don't. It doesn't get you anywhere. People don't like it. A crying woman will open every single door. But I'm not a crier. I'm a shouter. Right.
I sometimes cry because I've realised anger's not going to work here and I turn on the waterworks.
At which point I get up and leave the room because crying people really annoy me.
Yeah, well, it's
It
great.
Doesn't work on me, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
It works if my children cry. Well, if Sam cries...
No, Sam's pretend crying.
Sam's pretend crying is quite annoying. But if Kitty cries, I drop everything.
Any show of emotion, yes. Humanity or interest in her family from Kitty is so moving.
It is very moving, yes. She's very, very... self-possessed. Anyway.
This sounds like a great... Okay, so this is one of those ones which sounds a great column from you.
It would be a great column from me.
For me to go, no, what you don't understand about female anger is...
Yes, exactly. Exactly, so you can't do that. But I wonder what a funny / ridiculous angle for this would be.
Well, she's getting... Her first mistake is a plastic bat. You want a wooden bat.
You want a wooden... Okay. No, Gwyneth, this is how you do angry. Okay, well, that's one to ponder.
Yeah.
What else did you like the look of this week? I think the David Cameron thing is interesting because we can provide some real insight on this story. So could you please explain the story?
Stand back. And also all you social media people at Times Radio who occasionally put things up on. This is the shit that's about to come right here.
Yeah.
This is the stuff. This is going to get clicks. It's going to get like 47 clicks. the headline in the Mail, which we don't get, but I bought once because... Times didn't get delivered. Cameron lets go, stay in grace and favour mansion. Is olive branch sign their Brexit war is finally over? David Cameron has extended an olive branch to Michael Gove by letting him continue living in a £25 million grace and favour home normally reserved for the Foreign Secretary. Mr Gove has been at One Carlton Gardens since he's been granted the use of the palatial Central London property, which is photographed since he split up with his wife Sarah, who writes for the Mail. Yesterday, Whitehall sources confirmed, and obviously it could have gone back to the Foreign Secretary. Whitehall sources confirmed that Lord Cameron has made the peace offering to his former friend as he seeks to move on from bitter Brexit divisions. Now, let me ask you, Esther.
Yeah.
Do you think the reason that David Cameron, who we saw last week at the Cockle Barrow races and is a very decent chap and a mate, do you think the reason that he and Samantha and their lovely children are not moving into the £25 million palatial One Carlton Gardens flat house owned by Gove, do you think it's an olive branch? Do you think that's why he doesn't want to go back?
I think David Cameron is a very diplomatic guy, and I think that he has seen an opportunity to make two things happen. One, he sees an opportunity to extend an olive branch to Michael Gove, who is very happy at Carlton Gardens or Carlton Place, whatever it's called. And number two, he sees an opportunity to make his wife happy, who will not want to move back into Carlton Gardens.
You're saying number three, it's because he has seen inside number one Carlton Gardens. I mean, this is some privileged shit we've got going here. This is some 0.1%ers. We're talking about the fact that we have... And listen, Cameron and Gove are in the cabinet. I mean, they've got to be getting on. It's got to be fine. People overblow these things.
Yeah.
But we, being good friends with Michael Gove, largely because of mutual friends who he is very close to, we were invited round for lunch on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
I recall
we brought the lunch.
We brought the lunch and I think the wine. I remember I took bagels and smoked salmon.
I think
Michael provided wine and our other friends brought some food as well.
Yeah.
And it was a lovely invitation. We'd had our Saturday. Michael was recently split up and was like, the kids were not with him. And then he was rattling about in this giant house. Okay. Like, imagine an abandoned hotel, but abandoned a long time ago.
Yes.
You know, probably like four floors, each one 5,000 square feet.
Now, the ground floor is I think it's two massive reception rooms. One of them is a dining room that can seat probably 40 people. And the other one is a living room that has a horizon. It is so big. Mm. Enormous drapes, giant huge oil paintings. And then you go up this enormous curving staircase that takes about a minute and a half to get up the staircase. And then there's another floor of stuff. And then the top floor, the top sort of 10% of this giant building, is a little tiny flat, which is where you live.
And there's Michael in the corner smoking a fag.
Exactly. Just surrounded by piles and piles of paper.
Boxes of books that he hasn't unpacked. Thousands of books piled up that he hasn't unpacked.
Red boxes.
And he may have unpacked them by now, to be fair. And he has this house because it was Liz Truss didn't want it.
She was so happy in Greenwich is where she lives.
She was the foreign secretary then, and it was his grace and favour.
Now, the reason why the government wants the foreign secretary to live in Carlton Gardens is because security is much more straightforward. David Cameron as the foreign secretary.
Carlton Gardens, I should just tell you, it's in St James's, it's near Whitehall.
You can walk to work very easily. Yeah. And also, it means that the coppers who look after you, and the foreign secretary has two at all times, 24 hours a day, it's just way easier for them to guard a minister if he's in Carlton Gardens, which already has a lot of security. Wherever the Camerons are living now, they will have to have security in their private residence, which is just much more tricky.
Well, we went to the races and saw David a couple of weeks ago, and there were these sort of handsome men with their fingers in their ears all over him, weren't they, who we ended up chatting to.
Yeah.
In fact, one of them, I then had spoken to David and then was walking out and was coming back in. And I said, oh, sorry, does it make it complicated? Because I'd said to David, you're going to come and bet on a race. And he goes, well, not a very good look with Foreign Secretary, you know, two wars going on there. Just going to sit in the corner. And I then said something to the copper, I can't remember what, and he said, look, just don't punch him. small chance of that, to be honest.
As long as you don't punch him in the face, it's all right. Anyway, so...
The point would be...
So the fact is that government buildings... I mean, this is not necessarily that new a story. Samantha Cameron didn't really enjoy living in the number 10 flat. They moved into number 11 because the flat was bigger. The living quarters, I'm sorry, they are tiny and cramped and also a little bit spooky because they bear... It's just, it feels, you can hear the kind of, the chatter of all the different children that have lived in the flat. And there are kind of stickers in the bedroom, like put there by
previous
children.
So I didn't go to the bedroom, so I didn't know that. We played a massive game of sardines. My children were too scared.
Too scared,
just like to leave outside to go and do it. No, I thought it was more to do with the big rooms, which failed in ways that wouldn't bother Michael, in that they hadn't been redecorated for ages. They had great big, so they had sort of wonky Victorian paintings and huge and sort of old Chesterfields with the stuffing coming out.
Yeah.
All the stuff which is not on Michael's radar. Is it not thinking?
No,
about.
He doesn't care.
For him, it's near to work.
And also, both Samantha and David, I'm sure, and whichever of their children are still at home, they feel like they've done their time. And it's a government building. Yeah, I had done time in number 10 as Samantha has done, and I finally got to go and live my life in my residential street in my regular house that I've decorated myself, I would keep kicking and screaming back to Carlton Gardens. And I know people kind of think that's weird, oh, why wouldn't you want to live in this great big giant mansion? Because it's not your home. And it's not, and it's giant and spooky. And Michael doesn't care. Michael loves his job and he loves government and he loves his country so much that he's just overjoyed.
Is this probably a window into what Asha Chakravarti thinks about Downing Street? She's grown up with a billionaire with presumed palaces and lives in the fucking Taj Mahal. And then there you are. There's the
She's doing her best, but you can see it on her face. And I don't blame her at all.
after that extended name drop.
Yeah.
Neil leaving as much of it in as he chooses. Is there a column for that? I'm just showing off about knowing.
We are just showing off. It would be another point would be, yeah, it would just be, it would be a fun, interesting. It's a 600 word sidebar in T2, isn't it? I know why Sam Cam doesn't want to go back to Carlton Gardens. In fact.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think the dog story is quite fun. So the story is that dog-owning children are more active than children who don't have a pet or have other kinds of pets. So could you just do some funny generalisations about what are the owners of budgies like? What are they like to do?
The owners of cheetahs. They generally, I mean, these children are fitter because these fucking terrified dogs have been chasing them around trying to kill them.
Yeah.
XL bullies and the pit bull staff crosses and all that. And
they have to eat their ham sandwiches on the run, otherwise the dog's going to get them.
What about, I would also say, is it fit from bending down a lot to clean up all that dog shit?
I don't think the children are doing that.
They've got really strong core muscles. From cleaning up over the disgusting poo, particularly when they do those runny ones, which they have to kind of scrape with a pastry scraper to get up off the gritty pavement.
But they mostly don't bother.
Yeah.
But is there not something funny about what are other pet owners like?
No. Elephant owners.
Yeah, elephant owners.
They're generally tiny Indian men with really, really thin.
It's true that African elephants do not generally suffer to be owned by anyone.
Exactly.
Okay, so no.
Crocodile owners.
Oh, what are they like?
Again, this is a T2 300 word sidebar.
It is. They're a bit snappy, haha. I'm sorry.
You even said that.
I know. I don't think that's one for you.
I don't know. Well, if you want to do animals and the hilarious things about them, I do think rats addicted to Instagram.
That was very funny. Yes,
but
exactly.
Do you remember where?
Yeah, it's in today's paper, but broadly the story is that they did an experiment on rats where they had two sort of shoots. And they both had a button at the bottom, and rats are pretty good at pressing buttons in order to get a treat. And one of the shoots, you pressed the button and you got some sugar. And
when you mean the rat?
The rat.
And
Rattus presses a button and a bit of sugar comes out, a little kind of tablet or whatever, and they guzzle that. And then the other shoot, when they press a button, a picture of themselves appears. But not just like a rat, of particularly their face.
Is it their face sucking their cheeks in and looking up at the camera while hustling their boobs into a better position?
Exactly.
And making beasting lips and stuff.
Exactly.
While holding a sponsored kombucha.
And they found that when they started only intermittently releasing the sugar when the button was pressed, the rat continued to press the other shoot that lit up with a picture of their own little face. It's like Ratatouille, isn't it? I can only think of that little rat in Ratatouille.
So it's like it's narcissism for
it is
for rats. Taking selfies really is a sweeter addiction than eating sugar, brackets, for rats. It's one of those ones which always asks you.
So the rats continued. Rats continued to be excited and stimulated by pictures of their own face, and not just by the sugar. With all academic research, I do sort of think, have all subjects just run out and they're just doing these really weird experiments on rats? It doesn't tell us anything we don't already know about.
When you say scientific experiments, Augustin Linier, a photographer based in Paris, set up an experiment with two rats. So in between going up to young girls in bars and saying, you're a very beautiful woman, I can make you a model,
right,
taking her back to his flat and then... he's just decided to put some rats in a box. I mean, it's terribly Parisian, if you ask me.
It is quite.
But the idea that... What are you laughing about now?
So I haven't seen you for a few days.
You haven't? We were talking about... You'd forgotten what a total twat I was. It's great. That's how we can make this podcast
just
work.
Just sort of photographers with rats in boxes in their flats. To describe it as very Parisian just made me laugh.
It is. I now do think you could create quite an amazing... My dad would probably have done the column as if it was the 1920s when the flat in Paris would be there's Hemingway and there's Gertrude Stein and there's Scott Fitzgerald and there's James Joyce and there's Marcel Proust and they're about to go to Les Deux Magots for an absinthe. But they've got to just put this mirror in front of a rat with a self-timing photograph rather than invent modernism and white Ulysses. Imagine a conversation, Hemingway. This business of the rats, full stop. It was tried, full stop. It succeeded, full stop. And there's an end of it.
Is that how Hemingway writes?
Yeah, broadly.
Well, that might be fun.
In the war, the rats were always there, but we did not go to it anymore.
Okay. Page 27, Tuesday's Time, schism in Spain over homoerotic Jesus poster, a.k.a. sexy Jesus.
Whoa.
Yes.
Wouldn't mind a piece of that.
Yep.
Oh, don't get many of them to the pound. He's got, it's a Jesus in the sort of Russell Brand. He's got a Russell Brand beard and the hair. He's all sort of skinny. His nipples are out. He's sort of touching his sternum in an extremely homoerotic way. And he's wearing just a rope around his waist with some old sort of greasy builder's rags. The kind of stuff that you would throw over a table when you're sort of painting the ceiling.
Okay, the exuberant realism of Spanish Catholic imagery has raised eyebrows since its inception during the Counter-Reformation. Isambard Wilkinson writes, hello. But has a red line been crossed? The official poster for this year's famed Holy Week celebrations, aka Easter, in Seville, has prompted a national debate. Wait, is that Holy Week? Yes.
Semana Santa.
The country is divided over whether its image of the resurrected Christ is a figure of beauty or a tasteless excess of sensuality and homoeroticism. Well, he looks... is it okay to say he's got a very Spanish face?
No. But he looks like Russell Brand. He hasn't.
He doesn't look like Russell Brand.
What I don't understand is, why would you have a homoerotic image of Jesus? I mean, Catholic priests are not famously turned on by small boys, are they?
No. Celestiano
Garcia. That one, did you really just say no? You didn't, my awesome joke, you just like moved along.
Because it's just, the fact that Catholic priests have been abusing small boys for hundreds of years is a tragedy. Yeah. And I don't think it has any place in a humorous podcast.
Comedy. It's tragedy plus time.
It's still too soon.
Do you know who I'm quoting?
Woody Allen.
Alan Alda in Manhattan Murder Mystery, who's the
brother-in-law.
He's the brother-in-law director who Woody Allen has to make the biopic of, and he's really furious about
and
it.
Alan
and he keeps saying, tragedy plus time. And Woody Allen's gonna fucking kill him. Sorry, so I was just, yeah.
Celestiano Garcia, the artist, defended his work and explained why he used his son and the memory of his late brother as his model for Christ. Those who see something dirty are only projecting their own internal dirt
Irishman, who's this?
Onto the image. I never make fun of you when you do your dipshit accents. You've really got it in for me today. I'm going to lose. Where's my plastic bat? Anyway, I thought it was absolutely... His face is too Spanish and too modern.
My story... How do I extrude a column from that? Messiahs I would like to shag.
Fasting?
Yes. That's a thing we can probably deliver some...
Back in the news again. So intermittent fasting is a thing that's been a big deal, I think, since Michael Mosley wrote his very famous landmark book, the fast diet.
So the 5-2 was around for ages, and then
yeah, it's still around. Lots of people still.
And that was 5 days of eating, 2 days of not eating, and then we got the 16-8 came along, which was fasting where you don't eat for 16 hours in order to let your microbiome get on with shit and to offset.
It's actually cell autophagia, which is the process of cells kind of clearing out debris from.
But it's also
itself.
Against inflammation, because this sort of went on the 16-8, and then you got people like Jack Dorsey, the Twitter guy, saying that he didn't eat until he went home. He sort of slept, woke up, went to work, and he was more focused.
Mm-hmm.
The result was the invention of Twitter. So
yeah,
it's a swings and roundabouts. And I think Musk probably, as I said, that he doesn't eat in the morning. So this is front page of the Times today, Wednesday. 24-hour fasts may help to lower risk of Alzheimer's. They also suggest it, and diabetes. It's a Cambridge study this time. Researchers have found that leaving a full day between meals can cut levels of harmful inflammation in the body by boosting production of a key fatty acid. Now, that's we learnt last week that Rishi Sunak
doesn't eat between 5 p.m. on a Sunday and 5 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Yeah, 5 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Or was it 5? It's a full 36-hour fast. That's quite. I could not do that.
The insight that we can offer, much like our Boxing Day at One Carlton Gardens, is that we both fast.
Yeah,
you may be wondering why we are always so kind of lively and intelligent and slim and pissed and fat and boring.
Well, not pissed anymore. No, I've stopped drinking.
Yeah. So I'll save that for next week.
Yeah, sure.
Is the fast? So we try to eat as early as we can, and this is every day. Mm. We try to eat as early as we can, which in our case is about 6:45 or 7.
Yeah.
And then not eat again until
11.
We have slightly different attitudes. You can't eat again until 11. So you then we don't eat anything. You have milky tea. I have black tea and black coffee and stuff and lots of water. Mm. Cameron Diaz, I note last week, said she starts the day with 2 liters of water. It wakes up her body, and she said it helps me go poop.
That's nice.
Helps me go poop.
The thing is
helps
that
me go poop, I say
the thing
again.
Is there's so the America living in California where she lives, and she will this will be completely normal to just sort of talk openly about your bowel movements.
But I get up in the morning, I have smoke a fag and a milky coffee, and I go for a big shit. That's fine, but
helps me go poop.
Oh, helps me go.
Helps me go poop.
So you're
she's 54. I mean, it helps me go poop. But anyway, so she has water because it helps her go poop. And then I find a cold glass of water does actually help me go poop because it sort of goes in and your body thinks, fuck! And out it comes. But the fasting thing is like, you then, you do feel quite enlivened. And
our bodies are not designed to cope with the amount of food that we eat in a modern diet anyway.
So it's a good way alone of calorie restriction.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the thing about the possibility of your body healing and the microbiome effect is interesting because there's the autophagia. Yeah. And then we do sleep, then possibly you would say male, female, other would say just you, me. But you then eat at 11 and I go, I'm not going to eat until 1. Or I'll phone up from work, fascinatingly. When I phone you up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I haven't seen you for a few hours, I say, darling, guess what? I haven't eaten yet. And you always go, it's not a competition to see how long you can go without eating. And I go, yes, it is.
That's why men prefer the 5-2, is because they can just brag to everyone about how little they've eaten. It's just kind of dysregulated and I find it irritating when you do that. But obviously you must, you're looking at me like you're going to eat me.
No, it's just, it's just you said I was mean earlier and now you sound irritating. And I'm just glad that I'm going for lunch, a proper sound lunch with Martin Samuel.
I'm quite envious actually. I quite like the sound of Martin Samuel. I think he sounds like a laugh.
I met him for the first time just before Christmas and I was expecting us that I was going to meet Hagrid.
Yeah, a great bear of a man.
And his picture byline, which is sort of shoulders up, broad shoulders, big beard, long hair, and I met him at the Times comment page's Christmas dinner, and he went hi, and I looked at him and I went, you can only be Martin Samuel's son, there's no other, because I know those eyes. But he has an annual shave and haircut,
really?
And he's not an overweight guy. He's taller than me. He's not massive. He's taller than me.
Right.
But he just had shaved clean. And he just, it was, it's like, it's, it was like one of those things on Instagram when they go, famous people when they were little. And he was also just sort of giggly and fun. in his columns, he's fucking
really
annoyed about
gruff,
it.
Yeah.
England played a 4-2-4, and he doesn't talk like that. But
yeah.
But he's a sort of, he's quite a sort of, he's a strong and angry pundit. and displeased with many things in this world.
Yeah.
And then you meet him and he's just
It is strange as a writer when you meet someone whose personality is totally at odds with how they are on the page. You're exactly the same. You are exactly, and I'm pretty similar as well. And then you meet someone and you're expecting this sort of fun, exuberant person who then just kind of be really ranting.
But enough of Hugo Rifkin.
But
you've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.